Chapter 6 Feast of the Black Heart. You cannot get blood from stone, the old saying goes. But as Dior followed the wolf mother down a long, cold hallway, the rock beneath her feet was remarkably free of stains. It hung in the air, old but sharp. Faint hints of the awful butchery that must have unfolded when this city was conquered. The towers were toppled, the ramparts crushed, but there were no stains on the floors, at least. Truth is, you can get anything from stone if the servants scrub hard enough. Jean-Francois frowned, glancing up at the shadow across the river. I don't think you've quite grasped the meaning of that saying, Mademoiselle Castilla. Fortunate, then, the shadow replied, that we do not care what you think. Selene lay on her back, eyes fixed on the ceiling above, lost in the mists of time. The historian scoffed, dipping his quill as she continued. Cain and Soraya stalked behind Dior, carrying Aaron da Costa's iron coffin between them. Such had been their haste, they'd not had time to flay the fledgling's skin tonight, and he could be heard within, whispering prayers to the god who had forsaken him. But the wolf mother's eyes were fixed ahead, her voice a low growl as she addressed Dior. Speak only when spoken to if you value your tongue. Climb not off your knees if you've want of your legs. My father will suffer no slight in sight of his blood lords, and his only use for fools is to feed his guests. To disrespect here means death. Do you hear me, mouse? Dior replied softly, jaw clenched. I understand. Nay. Chiara stopped suddenly. You canna possibly. My laird Nikita walked this earth before the first Augustan drew breath. He survived the Ashen Inquisition, the 60 years' plague, the Wars of the Worm. When your beloved Gabriel destroyed Great Toliev at Crimson Glade, this bloodline near tore itself to pieces, and the Blackheart dragged it back together with his own two bloody hands and carved the kingdom upon which ye stand. Ye've never been quite so close to death as now, little mouse, so don't pretend to understand. The wolf mother towered over Dior, decades of murder in her eyes. Just obey. They walked to a set of tall double doors, flanked by men in dark steel and untamed colours. Despite the sombre surrounds, the sound of revels rang out within, loud talk and crashing laughter, and metal striking metal like a booming gong. Chiara rolled her shoulders, lifting her hand to knock, yet not letting her knuckles fall. You look nervous, Dior murmured. Chiara scowled, but the Grail spoke true. On the threshold of her triumphant homecoming, the wolf mother appeared entirely ill at ease. You return in glory, sister, Soraya said. The blood of a lion on your teeth. Our father shall surely smile upon you. Even she must be of good cheer at the Leon's fall. The wolf mother shook her head and muttered, She's never of good bloody cheer. Chiara pounded 3 times, knuckles leaving deep dents in the ironwood, and pushing the doors open, the wolf mother led Dior into a carnival of horrors. A vast room of dark stone, lit by chemical globes and flickering candlelight. Minstrel song washed over the Grail in waves, and she gagged at the reek, copper bright and iron heavy on her tongue. So much blood. The Hall of Plenty, it was called, a room far larger than the feast hall of Avilaine. A vast map was painted upon one wall, depicting the Empire of Elidane in exquisite detail, from the splintered isles in the west to the spear coast in the east. No fire burned in the three great hearths, but the air was still warm with the press of bodies and the stink of new murder. Dior's face ran bloodless as she looked up and saw people strung from the rafters, chained upside down by the dozen, hands bound and mouths gagged, naked as babes. Mortal handmaidens in rich finery stood below them, beautiful gowns, sumptuous hairstyles, and powdered skin. Each maid held a sharp knife and a tray of goblets in her hands, and their shoes were sticky red. Great tables framed the hall, arranged in a headless square, long and broad enough to seat 30 at a side, and those seats were filled with vampires. They wore noble trim or slayer's garb, leather and steel or silks and lace. One was clad in the robes of a holy sister, a broken wheel strung about her neck. Another was dressed in jester's motley, save his colours were all bleached grey. Soldiers, noblemen, brutes in hide and fur, they had the look of folk from all across the realm, every walk of life. But each was bereft of that life, malevolent and cold and grave pale, high bloods all. And Dior La Chance was struck mute at the awful sight of it. A court of the blood. A contest was underway in the Hall of Plenty's heart, a grim parody of a knightly tourney before a mortal king. The first combatant was a tall and wiry highblood, his hair long and snow-grey, his beard reaching to his belly. He'd stripped down to his breeches, and his lean arms and back were carved with beautiful tattoos, maids with fishes' tails, grim monsters of the deep. And as he smiled, the two fangs in his upper jaw glinted gold. His foe was a sleek-cut woman in black leathers, her dark hair clipped back to uneven stubble, like a heretic bound for an inquisitor's pyre. She was shorter than her opponent, but her swords were as long as Dior was tall, and she wielded one in each hand, the blades booming as she flew through the air in a whirling, scything dance. Highbloods around the tables jeered as she blooded her opponent, a blow that near took his arm off and sent him skidding back across the flagstones, snarling and cursing. The big highblood rallied, relieving the woman of one blade with a blow so fierce it cracked some of the windows around the hall. The woman brought her other blade down, cleaved her foe's shoulder all the way to his ribcage. But with one bloody hand, the man snatched her up and slammed her into the floor with force enough to splinter the stone. The woman punched back, shattering his bearded jaw, blood spraying bright. But the tattooed brute didn't let go, pounding the woman's head back into the shattered floor again, again, until she slapped her hand on the stone three times. "Yield," she groaned. "I yield." A thin roar went up, a few highbloods lifting goblets, others rolling their eyes and raising only their brows. The tattooed hulk rose to his feet, drooling red, offering a hand to his vanquished foe. Her bleeding lips split in a savage grin as she took it. "Almost."
"You broke my damned jaw, Alex,"
the fellow slurred, rubbing at his sopping beard. The woman stood on tiptoe, licked the blood from his lips. "I'll kiss it better later." The man chuckled as the sleek woman slapped his rump, the pair staggering to a nearby table. The woman caught the eye of a handmaid standing beside one of those ghastly chandeliers, held two fingers aloft. Dior blanched in horror as the maid curtsied, lifted her knife, and sliced a young man's throat. as casual as if she were picking flowers for the centerpiece. Steaming blood gushed from the slice, the man not even struggling as it flooded over his chin and onto the floor. None of the folk hanging beside him made a whimper as the maidservant filled a pair of goblets to their trembling brim. "Sweet fucking Mother Maid," Dior whispered, stepping forward. A cold grip closed around her arm, hard enough to make her bones creak. "Disrespect means death," Chiara murmured. Trembling, sheened with fresh sweat, Dior watched as the handmaid filled the other goblets on her tray. Leaving the fellow to drip his last onto the stones, the woman took the cups to the wounded combatants, gifting each a draught, then proceeding to carry drinks around to the other guests. Dior closed her eyes at the horror of it all, lifting hands to her face and whispering a fevered prayer. "Come," the wolf mother growled. The iron grip closed on her arm once again, and the grail was dragged down into that gathering of devils, Cain and Soraya on her heels. The minstrels played on, a merry tune utterly at odds with the macabre surrounds, trilling close to the edge of madness. But conversation hushed as the quartet passed by, Dior almost slipping on the blood-stained stone. It was palpable now, thickening the air. The attentions of monsters shifting from the casual cruelty around them to the pale, frightened waif among them. At the end of the Hall of Plenty was a dais, as long as the tables around the square. A magnificent window of rainbow glass loomed behind it, a triptych so large it took up the entire wall. The Mother Maid was the central figure, beatific and serene, flanked by the Father Almighty and their son, the Redeemer, bleeding from his trials upon his wheel. Looking into her ancestor's eyes, Dior clenched her jaw to stop her teeth chattering. Two thrones waited beneath that window, wrought of ornate black ironwood, one sitting just below the other. Servants gathered in the shadows around them, and two figures reclined upon them, still as marble statues. All conversation had ceased now. Even the minstrel song had hushed. The eyes of every vampire in the room fixed on the wolf mother's quartet as they approached those graven thrones. "Kneel," the wolf mother murmured. "Now." Pale, reeling, Dior obeyed, withering to her knees. Cain and Soraya placed Aaron's iron box on the sticky stone as Chiara bowed, one hand to her long dead heart. "My Laird and Count Nikita," she said, addressing the higher chair. "Firstborn son of Toliev the Butcher, conqueror of Oswey, and priori of the Blood Divok." The wolf mother turned to the second. "My Contessa, Lily, beloved brood sister to my Laird, eldest child of Toliev and wife of Winter. I bid ye humble greetings, elders, and pray night I find ye well." Cain and Soraya sank to one knee, heads bowed, fists over their hearts. The figure on the first throne spoke then, his voice as deep and cold as winter sky.
"Welcome ye back, my blood."
Dior looked to he who spoke, lips parting in awe. Nikita Divok was young in appearance, early 20s when he'd been taken, though he defied a notion like time, as a hawk defies gravity. He was an idol wrought of onyx and pearl, an incubus carved of firelight shadow and the dreams of heartsick maids. His long hair fell in a black tumble over one side of his face, and a circlet of iron, fashioned like a wreath of thorns, kissed his princely brow. He wore dark silks and an ornate greatcoat of ocean blue, and a necklace of vampire fangs graced his throat, alongside another of those golden vials that Kiara and her kin all wore. A naked greatsword, longer and broader than a man, leaned at rest on the back of his throne. Its hilt was wrought like roaring bears, its edge notched by a thousand battles. Dior Lachance's first kiss had been with a girl. She'd told my brother that she'd never had a passion for men. Looking at Nikita, her body was flush with heat, her pulse thumping. But as stunning as the one they called Blackheart was, she spared the first laird of the Divok only a glance. Her gaze dragged to the figure at his left hand. She was a maiden in form, Lily Divok. A sumptuous gown of black, trimmed blue, hugged her hourglass form, cascading to her feet in velvet waves. Her long blood-red hair reached near to the floor, her ears and fingers dripped with gold, and her brow was circled by a crown of spiraled ram's horns. She sat with one hand at rest upon the head of a great wolf lounging beside her throne. The beast was white of fur, broad and sleek, though a deep scar ran down the left side of its face, and one of its eyes was missing. Its other, pale blue flushed with red, was fixed upon Dior. Lily's own eyes were rimmed thick with coal, her lips fresh blood. The Heartless, some named her, the Winter Wife. She was attired like a daring noblewoman at court, but she had the seeming of some nameless goddess in a temple long forgot. A statue carved of marble that had endured long after the men who worshipped it had gone to the grave. Until the statue moved, that is, speaking to Kiara with a haunting voice that carried the length of that blood-stained hall. Sweet niece, our hearts gladden to see thee again. It seems an age of this earth hath come and gone since last we gazed upon thy beauty. The statue lifted her alabaster hand from the wolf's head. Come, let us kiss thee and share heartfelt joy at thy return. M'lady, ye honour me. Kiara bowed lower, yet threw one swift glance to her dark father. Dior tensed as a current crackled through the room as if the hackles of 100 wolves were now raised. Nikita remained mute, unmoved as Lily beckoned with painted fingers. Prithee, niece, come ye closer. Kiara obeyed, stepping up to the dais under the gaze of every devil in the hall. The great pale wolf growled as she drew near, but Lily hushed the beast with a murmur. And as the wolf mother leaned close, the Heartless seized hold of her scruff. Dior winced as she heard cartilage popping, bone grinding, Kiara falling to her knees as Lily squeezed. It seemed an impossibility that a slayer so mighty as the Wolf Mother could be bested by one so slender, so fair. But no maiden was Lily Divok, no statue upon this throne, but a monster, ancient and strong enough to claim it for her own. The hour of thy arrival is late, niece Kiara, she said. Deathless are we, but the cattle in the city outside share no such blessing, and the children ever hunger. Kiara could only gurgle reply, her throat too crushed to draw breath. 2 moons passed since you were sent to refill our larder. Lily twisted, dark eyes roaming the gathering. Our blood lords were in danger of growing parched, and the Dragan can only beat so many of his lovers bloody, afore we all tire of the spectacle. Soft laughter rung around the hall. The tattooed man raised his goblet and grinned, gold fangs glittering through his gore-soaked beard. The monstrous maiden laughed in kind.
Sister, Nikita said.
The laughter stilled, a babe smothered in its crib. Lily's eyes broke from the gathering, shifting to her brother's, the Count's voice cool as autumn's breeze.
Peace.
Lily's lips curled in an ingenue smile, though no warmth reached her eyes, and pecking Kiara on the cheek, she released her grip. The wolf mother staggered back, the red stain of Lily's lips on her skin. The pale wolf licked its jowls, eyes yet fixed on Dior.
Thy arrival is much delayed, daughter.
Nikita frowned, pale fingers steepled.
Stock in the Alton pens grew scarce. How comes it thou art delayed so long?
Laird and father, I beg pardon, Kiara croaked, but winter's chill and foul-blood hungers have drained your lands of what little cattle remained. As you warned us, beyond your borders we were forced to roam to find more than dregs to fill your cup.
But filled it, thou hast.
Filled and more.
The wolf mother lifted her chin, eyes shining as she looked upon her lord.
I am come from Avalane with its dust on my heels, its bounty in my arms, and the blood of Gabriel de Leon upon my hands.
At the mention of my brother's name, the mood in the room dropped through the floor. The tattooed one, named the Dragan, rose to his feet, glowering.
The Black Lion,
deliverer of Baisita. Lily smiled. Mirthless, liberator of Treo Baila.
And murderer of our noble father,
Nikita growled.
A foe we thought dead and well buried.
The Dragan hurled his goblet at the wall, crimson spattering the stone.
Say ye now that thrice-damned horseborn lives?
Lived,
Kiara corrected, gazing around the room with a feral smile. But nay longer, and mine are the hands that wrought his end, cousin. The hall was all in a furore now, and Dior knelt in the midst of it, head hung low. She had ever been a believer in my brother, in his vow that he would never forsake her. But surely, even she doubted he could have survived his fall into that frozen abyss. Chaos rung in the air around her, vampires rising to their feet, crying questions, raising goblets, spitting Gabriel's name as if it were holy water on their tongues.
Silence!
The command rang like a cannon blast, its echo cracking upon the stone. Lily gazed among the kith, her stare brooking no dissent.
My son.
Here she looked to the headsman, black eyes gleaming. Spake the wolf mother true. The silvered cur who slew great Toliev, slain now in turn. Cain glanced to Kiara, the older vampire bristling with silent threat.
The price was steep, Contessa, Cain muttered. Cousin Rickard slain on the banks of the mare, but the Black Lion is fallen, by my dear cousin's own hand.
A great roar went up in the hall, and the wolf mother stood taller, chin raised high. As the walls echoed with bloody adulation, Kiara looked to Nikita.
Joyous tiding be not all I have brung ye, great father, she smiled. Another gift I offer, to sweeten this triumph all the more.
With a flourish,
Kiara stepped aside, gesturing to the iron box on the stone behind her.
A bonny grandson, if you're lying.
A murmur rippled around the room at that, Nikita leaning forward on his throne.
A fledgling of thy making, high-blooded.
Avilane's laird.
Kiara's eyes shone with dark pride as she glanced at the monsters around her.
Aaron de Costa, a capitaine, father, a noble-born warrior and son of San Michon. Toe-to-toe we battled upon his walls, nae quarter asked nor given. His sword I shattered, but his dagger now I gift ye, along with his keeping. May ye judge him worthy of your blood.
Kiara's eyes fell once more on her dark maker, her voice grown thicker.
And she who made him, who slew your great enemy, worthy of your blessing.
Reaching into her cloak, Kiara produced a short blade in a battered sheath. An angel glittered on the hilt, the same as the broken silversteel blade that Gabriel had found at Avalane. At the sight of it, Nikita's lips curled in a small, perfect smile.
Well done, my love.
The ancient inclined his head.
Proud of thee am I.
Meeting Nikita's bottomless eyes, the wolf mother brushed her braids from her shoulders, fangs gleaming as she preened. Had she a pulse in her veins, she'd surely have blushed like a springtime maid. At the same time, Cain and Soraya unlocked the heavy chains, unwound them from the iron box, and opened the lid. And with a hate-filled roar, Aaron de Costa flew at the wolf mother's throat.